September 7th, 2017, for Legislative Budget and Audit Committee meeting. Go ahead and have the roll call, please.
Representative Kawasaki?
Here.
Representative Seaton? Representative Sponholz?
Here.
Representative Johnston?
Here.
Representative Ortiz, alternate?
Here.
Vice Chair Josephson?
Here.
Senator McKinnon?
Here.
Senator Bishop? Senator Giesel?
Here.
Senator Hoffman? Senator Von Imhoff, alternate?
Here.
Chair Stedman?
Here. Here.
Nine members present.
Thank you. We have a quorum today to conduct business. We're going to have a meeting that will probably run. We're hoping until about 4, maybe 4:30. With that, we have a motion from the Vice Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that you be nominated as the next Legislative Budget and Audit Committee Chairman, effective with this meeting.
We have a motion on the table to elect a new chairman, Senator Stedman. And do we have objection to that motion? Seeing no objection, the committee has elected a new chairman, Senator Stedman. We will now go ahead and conduct today's agenda. We're going to start with approval of minutes. Representative Josephson.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee approve the agenda. We've done that. Have we done that?
Well, sir, there's a motion to move and approve the agenda. Is there objections? Any objection to the amendment or to the amendment but to the agenda? Seeing none, we'll roll down the agenda, to approval of the minutes.
And Mr. Chairman, I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee approve the minutes of the July 25, 2017 meeting as presented with the following amendment. The word lasting appears three times on page 4 and should be the word lapsing. This appears at 954.17, 954.35, and again, it's also at 954.35.
We have a motion to approve the minutes as amended. There's a typo three times. And we have an objection to approval of those minutes or additions. Seeing none and hearing none, we'll go ahead and adopt the minutes as amended. Okay, for the next item on the agenda, I'd like to have Representative Sadler come forward, please. He's got a preliminary request for the committee to consider. I've asked him to bring forward his request and kind of give us the highlights of it, and then I want to go ahead and work with Reg Otter a little bit on it and the representative, and we'll be bringing that most likely back for further discussion in the near future. With that, Representative Sadler, if you can introduce yourself for the record, who represents and who's with you, and then kind of let us know what the intention is.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me? We on? Okay, on red and talk loud. Okay. Well, for the record, this is Representative Dan Sadler. I represent House District 13, and as my first order of business, may I congratulate the new chairman. Mr. Chairman, and members of the staff, I often have that reaction, usually when I'm playing guitar. How's the level now? Better, very good. Well, for the record, again, this is Representative Dan Sadler. Thank you for letting me bring my request up or not before the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. My request is, as the chairman said, a request for an audit of the Village Public Safety Officer Program. During the most recent legislative session, I was on the Public Safety Subcommittee, and the FY18 operating budget, I started to raise some questions with how the VPSO program is financed and how it's managed to accomplish its aim of providing public safety in rural Alaska. The Department of Public Safety did give me some budget data and answered some basic questions, but I feel that we need more detail and analysis of the expenses and the contractual obligations, the indirect expenses, so that we can, and questions I think can best be provided by an audit. This is my first audit request, so I'm not sure exactly the procedures, so if I don't follow the procedures, I beg your indulgence. A bit of background, the VPSO program started in 1979, but has not been audited in the past 17 years since 2003. 14 years, pardon me. There's been a steady decline in the annual average number of VPSOs employed in rural Alaska. Now there's 52. The turnover rate is almost 95% since 1996. That means only about 5% of those who were hired in this program have stuck with the program. There's a tremendous amount of turnover each year and in the long run. Another concern is those hired into VPSO programs have actually no contractual obligation to actually take the jobs and serve in those roles. There are cases of VPSOs being hired and trained at state expense only to turn around pretty quickly after graduation and take jobs with other employees. And while certainly their goal is to have employment in Alaska and improve public safety, that may not be the best way to provide it with state and UGF dollars. The program is 100% undesignated general fund funded. And in our current fiscal situation, I think it's appropriate to make sure we are spending each dollar wisely and appropriately and prudently. It's especially fitting to look at this program when the dollars budgeted and the positions authorized so far exceed the number of VPSOs actually doing the job. I believe the funding process actually also needs review. As it stands right now, there are 10 grantees, and they get most of their funds early in the fiscal year cycle, even when the funded positions are not even filled. In a weird sense, grantees are almost incentivized not to fill vacant positions because under the current regime, the way of operating, they can retain funds in excess of their actual expenses and spend them for purposes that may be only peripherally related to the VPSO program, even if we know what those expenses are at all. Our responsibility as public, as the holders of the public purse, is to make sure that money is appropriated and spent for the purposes that we decide and not on things that may be marginally creatively, but not necessarily directly related to the purpose of providing public safety. Now, Mr. Chair, members, I understand audits cost money. We have good quality people doing the job. But I think an audit of this program is justified, A, because the public's high expectations of the VPSO program. It's obviously a very near and dear issue to rural legislators and their constituents and the residents of Bush, Alaska. It also provides an important role in providing public services in the area without intrinsic local police departments. And also, there's a significant amount of money received in this program from the state to do this. It's as high as $18 million in 2015. Now it's about $14 million. And that's $185,000 per VPSO per year. We need to make sure those dollars are being expended prudently. I do appreciate your time in hearing this request, and believe there's a strong possibility that inquiry from the legislature could reveal significant possible savings and efficiencies in the VPSO program, and that information would help inform our efforts and your efforts to improve public safety in rural Alaska. I appreciate your hearing my comments. I'd be glad to answer what questions I have. And I do have Kim Skipper, my chief of staff, who worked on the budget, the subcommittee budget with me to help me answer questions. Thank you, sir.
It looks like the target time for this is probably somewhere around a year and a half. So it's, we wouldn't have any of this information for this next year's budget cycle, possibly not the one following. So I what I plan to do is take some time, as mentioned earlier, and have some conversations with the representative, also let the bring the finance co-chairs and the operating budget in the booth, and maybe there could be some additional scrutiny this year as we go through that process while we wait for what the results are going to be. If there is questions on this particular issue, while we'll wait for the final results. But as mentioned, I want to sit down with the representative and let's budget and audit to refine some of the questions for Representative Sadler.
Yes, through the chair, Representative Sadler, I reviewed your audit request, and I think you've raised some important points, but I wanted to mention a couple things for you and for Mrs. Curtis, I guess, to think about. The operating budget from FY17 last year has intent language that says intent of the legislature that the VPSO program grantees be permitted to charge their federally approved indirect cost to their VPSO program grant, provided the statewide average does not exceed 30%. So in the division you made of $185,000 per position, should the audit move forward consistent with that intent language?
To the chair, Representative Joseph said, certainly, I would like to have an audit be wide-ranging and ask those kinds of questions. It was telling for me that in looking at the history of the VPSO program, there has been a kind of a quasi-audit done by legislature audits at that time, which indicated that the indirect costs were between 17 and 20%. In the most recent budget year we have, they're basically 27, 28%. And I think putting a 30% cap on it is kind of getting ahead of the kind of running ahead in the parade. I would hope it doesn't reach 30%. That is certainly intent, and I think our intent might be to be no higher than 30%. I hope we wouldn't push up to that limit. So I think the intent language is instructive, and it gives direction to the legislature, but certainly we should look for opportunities to keep the cost as low as possible.
Okay. In a simpler name, the wordage report through the chair from the operating budget of 2017, it says that it's our intent that the program be expanded into additional rural areas. So there's nothing about the audit that is designed to run counter to that intent in your mind.
Certainly not. We want to make sure that the VPSO program, if it's working successfully and efficiently, can be expanded to where we can provide good value to the citizens of rural Alaska. My hope would be that if we found efficiencies, it would be easier for us as budgeters to expand the process, the program rather, to more communities.
Okay, finally, Mr. Chair, in my last comment, that's what the one sentence in your request, which as I said is well considered largely, but in paragraph two, your first sentence says that the audit should evaluate the degree that the VPSO program has been effective at providing public safety services to rural Alaska villages. And it strikes me that that's a tough thing to determine because you'd have to weigh what the absence of the program would have looked like at some level. And is that language that you, and I suppose with Ms. Curtis, could hone in some way?
To the chair, Representative Josephson, did you feel the road shake a little bit too?
Okay.
The earth moved. The temple curtain rent. Through the chair, Mr. Josephson, certainly the foundational premise we do any audits under is how well the programs are operating, if they're operating to achieve their desired end. So I think that's, as a general rubric, an appropriate thing to see how well it's evaluating, to see how well it's serving those needs. Further than that, the other does provide some more specific metrics, the turnover rate, the average year's experience, number of filled positions. And yes, there is some certain subjectivity, success in the serving communities. Certainly the degree to which search and rescue is operating, public safety is being provided, the number of crimes, unsolved crimes, for example. I think there are ways we can actually put some edges on that request, certainly keeping the overall directive. How effective is it?
Thank you.
Senator McKinney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Sadler, have you worked with Chris on your letter, the state auditor, in bringing this request forward and the steps that you've done? Are these measurable goals that you've worked through her office?
Senator McKinney, I believe the answer to your question is yes, I have. We had our general questions working with on the budget. We had our general questions as about why there were unfilled positions, how much was being spent on positions, et cetera, et cetera. And in talking with Ms. Curtis, we did scope those questions down to more achievable, measurable points. So yes, we have had guidance from legislative budget audit as we grant this request.
Mr. Chairman, I've served on this committee for 6 years, and at least 6 years, I believe. It is a process to bring something before the full committee and for the committee to place it here from our state auditor to move the item forward. So I certainly am supportive of taking up the issue and not delaying and hearing from our auditors to see if these are measurable goals in looking at this program. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for the chair, Chris process-wise, I haven't actually seen the letter of request, so I don't know what's included in it, and therefore I feel sort of, yes, the letter of request.
I missed it.
I just had a question. I sat on this, I chaired this committee this year, and some of the questions that are being asked were questions that were asked directly of Captain Merrill, who's in charge of the VPSO program on behalf of the state. And I just wanted to hear clearly from the sponsor of the request, hear what information would be different, or we think might be different than the information that we received already from the administration.
Thank you. Through the chair, Mr. Kawasaki. Yes, we did have presentations in our meetings of the subcommittee from Captain Merrill. The reason why I'd like to have more detailed questions is we did indeed get some basic information on the number of VPSOs through the budget, through the budget finance. We had the number of positions authorized. Some deeper analysis of the degree to which the program is succeeding, the reason for some of the indirect cost increases, reasons for turnover, the expenses of training, and how much of that are lost. The expenses, I think, needs a higher level of inquiry and analysis. There's other questions which are beyond the actual operation of the program as it stands now. There is the possibility of looking to the federal government or other sources for funding of this program, which have been outlined in previous legislative audit work. There's also the question of whether there might possibly be better ways to manage the program, either contracting with individual villages or with individual DPSOs, or as it is right now with DPS. So those are more higher-level analytical questions that you really can't ask a department that's operating the program as it stands now to say how they would change it. Obviously, they believe that it's working the way it should because it's working the way it is. It's our job as the policymakers to consider what might be a better way to implement a policy.
Okay. Any follow-up question for PM Kawasaki?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have you read the 85 audit and the 2003 audit?
To the chair, President Kawasaki, yes, I have. I don't have them all immediately close to hand, but yes, I have.
I wish everybody had copies of both audits because a lot of the, I think the questions that we have of committee were questions that some previous legislature had of the VPSO program, which went through an audit process similar to the one that Chris will do for us, and then were never listened to. And so I hope that this is not another exercise in futility and that we use the audit recommendations from 85 and 86, which clearly outline problems within the VPSO program that have still yet not been corrected. So I'm supportive of having an audit done as long as the auditor believes that this could be done in a timely manner without being a burden to other maybe more important audits that are out there. This is a program that represents 9% of the general fund budget within the department. Conversely, the troopers represent 75% of the budget, general fund budget in the public safety budget. It's a very, very small part of the overall, I think, workings of the state government. Definitely, we should review it. There's some things that we can take right off the pages of old audits. So I want to make sure that this is done in an effective and efficient and frugal manner. Thank you.
To represent Kawasaki's concerns, I share his desire. I do not wish to have an audit done that will result in reports against us. I think it's important, given the amount of public attention. One of our presiding officers has a very close personal interest in the VPSO program and has worked to extend it and change it. And I think that if there's information that already exists that can be used to provide a foundation, even a high foundation for the Lynch order, that would be very useful and might help save time and money.
Senator McCown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, you and I met briefly before this meeting, and Senator Ron Imhoff and myself approached you about this committee and are taking it time to go through old audit recommendations and start holding departments accountable to those old audits. And so I would just like to make a formal and public request that we work together as a legislative budget and audit team with the auditor to start going back through departments, just as Representative Kawasaki suggested, and trying to start implementing some of the good work that our auditors have provided for us. And so with that, I would just look for a public acknowledgement that we can go forward sooner rather than later on that process, and that we can work towards prioritizing which departments we might have in front of us over the next few months so that we can ask why these old audit recommendations are not being put into place.
We did have that conversation. It's going to be a general direction of the committee. We don't want to do audits just for the exercise of doing audits. And we'll be bringing this one forward in the next meeting or two to kick it off again. It's probably a year and a half out. And there's other, I guess, refinements I want to make sure we take a look at before we finalize this and send the auditors down this trail. And in the meantime, I think some of the concerns need to be looked at in the budget process and not wait or ignored until the audit is complete and we end up with two budget cycles behind us. Senator McKinnon, it looks like you're chopping at the bit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering if we're going to have an opportunity to talk to the state auditor, mm-hmm. Curtis, about this request.
Mm-hmm. You certainly will. Is there any other questions? The presenter. Ms. Curtis. You could touch on this request and then what you feel is a reasonable time expectation that the committee should, if we go forward with this, which is highly likely, we'd have an audit for the committee to take a look at.
Thank you. For the record, this is Chris Curtis, I'm a state auditor, and I have worked with both the Department of Public Safety and with Representative Sather and Sather's aide and to help them craft the audit request. I did hear questions about Section 2 and evaluating the degree the program is effective. And in considering what we might do in order to wrap our arms around that very large question, I believe we'll end up surveying the stakeholders to what degree they believe that the program is effective, what ideas they may have in improving the program. So that is something that I don't believe has been done for quite some time. So as far as timing, this will go into our log of audits. We do have, I believe, four or five performance audits that are in front of this, and I do not expect that we'll be beginning audit work for at least 1 year and a half.
And I have been speaking with Ms. Curtis on trying to shorten that list of audits and we're going to streamline some of the stuff for a little quicker turnaround. Is there any other questions before we set this aside? Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Curtis, what are the items that are in front of this? I missed one of the meetings where the committee as a whole acted to actually expedite one of the audits or slow it down. I can't remember which it was. But what are the four or five audits off the top of your head? I know that to the entire brain so I can think about Representative Kawasaki and the priority that is standing in front of this audit. So let me get in through the chair. The audit you're referring to as far as being expedited is the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority audit, which is ongoing. And we say it's been expedited, but technically the staff available was in Anchorage, and the only audit in front of that particular audit is Senator Diesel's request on the Board of Game Advisory Committee, which we hope to start this fall. The other two audits that were requested in December 2016 is an audit of Medicaid and CHIP travel costs, and the Gaston Development Corporation, those two audits. Now, we have two old audit requests sitting in our backlog, which I believe is what the chair is referring to, and that is an old request on MatMaid which is from 2009, and that is a request by Senator Davis back in 2008-2009, which we were able to address all of the audit objectives except we were asked to report on the disposition of all property. There was one building that had not been sold up until this past January. So that building is sold, and now we can report on the disposition. And whether we do a full audit, working with the chair, or whether we do a memo to expedite the process and use our resources efficiently, that'll be a decision for the committee. The other outstanding is a 2013 request by Representative Osterman on the Testamina, and that is looking at the problems surrounding the maintenance of that ferry, because it did result in a lawsuit, and it was the request was put on hold until the litigation was complete. It is complete at this point, and we will be coming back to the committee to explain the terms of the settlement, and we ask whether the committee believes it's worth the resources to go forward and answer those questions, or whether it be best to terminate our request.
Other questions for Senator
McKay? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Curtis, is there... I understand streamlining the process, and I understand the older requests that we can expedite and that the information may not be as valuable today as it was when the original requests were put in. But of the three, the Mental Health Trust Authority, the Board of Game, Line Development Corporation, and the Medicaid, is there any way that we can contract any of those out to actually complete the process faster than a year and a half? Through the chair, performance auditing is a very high liability for a outside audit firm to do. That is not something that your CPA firms do. So whether you can contract, whether we can contract it out or not, I certainly don't have the budget and my budget to do any contracting. But in the past, it's been more of a consultant you would hire to answer questions, and it wouldn't be an audit according to standard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are we going to get at some point an update on the status of being having some audits late? I know that Ms. Curtis has notified us multiple times that this year that we were going to be past our deadline in submitting to the federal government required documentation, and I'm just wondering at some point we need to get ahead of this ball that's been rolling on top of us, and it is, I would just say for the record that it is not a reflection on Ms. Curtis or her staff, but that we've had some transition in new IT that has prevented our staff from being able to go forward and effectively audit things. So the Medicaid system and all the trouble that we had with Medicaid and the lawsuits that we've had because they haven't been able to meet targeted deadlines. But that has backed us up now against the federal government in being having higher scrutiny of our records. And so will we, at a future meeting, get an update on ramifications and the timeline? I believe that those records are submitted now.
I would think the short answer to that is yes, but Ms. Curtis, could you highlight us a little bit on that? Because I've been off the committee for a year, so where we're at on this multi-year challenge we've been dealing with?
Yes. Senator McKinnon, through the chair. What Senator McKinnon is referring to is the implementation of the new state accounting system, which we refer to as IRIS. And that went live in July of 2015, and FY16 is the first year that the CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and the statewide single audit was prepared with records from the new system. We knew it would be late. Lots of communications and alerts went out to say, hey, you're not going to have the information you need when you come to town in January of this year. That has proven to be correct, and we did not get the CAFR opinion out until May of this year. That delayed the single audit. The single audit is due, the federal requirement said it's due March 31st. We, at this meeting, my hope is that the committee will release that as the final public document, and I've got staff standing by to upload that in the clearinghouse. I've been working with state agencies and federal agencies about when that will be released. There has been, I'd like to have a different word than threat, but I can't seem to think of them right now. Threats by the federal government
the audit, and today, hopefully, this evening, we will be able to get that up to Prairie House.
Does that answer your question?
Mr. Chairman, it does alleviate the problems that we're going to face in extra scrutiny over the next few years, but again, it is not our auditor's fault, per se. It is deadline and technology that is eating this data. So I appreciate that. I look forward to covering that, and I hope releasing that. I hope that the federal government understands that technology in the 49th state can be challenging and difficult to implement. I'm sure it is across our nation, but Alaska has some specific challenges that unless you are here, you may not recognize. So I appreciate our auditing team's continued energy. I do want to know what the oversight is going to look like in this curse, and I've had those conversations before, because what happens now is that the federal government will watch what we're doing much closer, and they set up possibly a variety of scenarios where we're double-checked on things. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, to address those concerns, very valid concerns, when you submit the audit report late, you become a high-risk auditee. Now, there's other ways you become a high-risk auditee, like having a qualified opinion, a modified opinion. And so in the previous years, we've had a modified opinion, so we're already a high-risk auditee. So the high-risk auditee designation lasts for 2 years, and that it affects the audit coverage that we're required to do, so the number of programs we're required to do for high-risk auditee. But in reality, the way our audit programs, our major federal programs, work in our state is that even just to comply with the federal rules and how we set up programs, we already have enough coverage. So actually, in practice, will not impact the number of federal programs we're required to select. So it won't have an impact on our audit resources.
Any other questions before we move on the agenda? Now we're going to take a look at next item on the agenda, final and preliminary audit reports, and we're going to go into executive session to do that. Representative Josephson.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the LBNA committee go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22 for the purpose of discussing confidential audit reports under AS 2420-301. I ask that the following individuals remain in the room or online: Chris Curtis, the following employees of Legislative Audit: Linda Day, Anna Chernick, Brian Blackwell, Mark Lindau, Don Bjorson. And I also invite any legislators not on LBNA and any legislative staff working for committee members.
Thank you. We will now stand at ease while we close our room. We're at ease. Out of executive session, into regular session, we've had our internal discussions. Representative Josephson,
Mr. Chairman, I move that the legislative budget and audit committee release the final, the following final audits: the Real Estate Commission, the Board of Maryland Family Therapy, the Board of Professional Counselors.
Let's have a look at these. After a minute, we have to reestablish a quorum. Make sure we have a clean record. If we could have a roll call, please.
Representative Kawasaki.
Here.
Representative Seaton. Representative Sponholz.
Here.
Representative Johnston.
Here.
Representative Ortiz, alternate.
Here.
Representative Josephson, vice chair.
Here.
Senator
here.
McKinnon.
Here.
Senator Bishop. Senator Giesel.
Here.
Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator von Imhoff, alternate.
Here.
Chair Stedman.
Here.
We have 10.
We have a quorum to commit business. Now, if I could please ask Vice Chairman to restate the motion, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee release the following
final audits. The Real Estate Commission, the Board of Marital and Family Therapy, the Board of Professional Counselors, and the FY16 single statewide audit.
We have a motion on the table. Do we have a objection to the motion on the table? Seeing none, motion will pass. Audits will move forward into the public domain. That concludes our agenda for today. We have meetings that will come up sometime in the
Just a second, did the recorder pick that up?
Okay.
Yeah, we have one more motion to make here. Sorry for jumping out of order. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee also release the following preliminary audit to the appropriate agency for response, the audit for the Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers.
We have a motion on the table to move the preliminary audit for the Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers. Board, do we have an objection to that? None. Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead and move that audit and the preliminary format forward. Now that concludes the work action today. But we do have some more work coming up in the first week in November. Probably the first week in December, but we'll be getting with committee members on schedules. As we all know, we have a lot of other issues going on. We'll try to work that out amongst the committee. And then we'll have one right before the regular session in January. I talked with the powers that be, and it looks like it may be advantageous to move into January, one half of January, and up a little early in January, depending on how things go. So we'll probably shoot for the December meeting because there's a 30-day window in the first week in December, which will give us flexibility for the January meeting. With that, is there any concerns for the good of the order before the meeting is adjourned? Seeing none, the Legislative Budget Audit Committee is adjourned at 4:08 p.m. on schedule. We are adjourned.